is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Woo! What a night in the NBA draft. Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross, and I say what a night in the NBA draft, just a little asterisk to that. I'm recording this before the complete end of the NBA draft, but feel like the Kings are done. If there's a big move, I certainly will comment it on our Monday podcast. But with what has happened so far, wow, interesting night around the league, but we're going to cover this in full detail about the Sacramento Kings. A lot of reaction today from that, but we want to first tell you about SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games that you want to see up close and in person this season, because there's nothing like being at the games of the year, and with SeatGeek, you can do just that. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. You can do the same. I can be anywhere. With just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any time at any game this season. With SeatGeek, you can always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek compares the prices on multiple ticket sites, and those prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. Plus, every ticket you buy in SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all of you guys out there get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To do that, get your $20 rebate off tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter promo code LOKINGS, LOKINGS. SeatGeek will send you $20 and made that first ticket purchase. It's that easy. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOKINGS. All right, so let's do it. Today's podcast obviously is going to be a reaction to everything that happened on the draft on Thursday. All reaction. I'm going to save my overall opinion on, I think, all of this, because there are so many people that you're going to hear from tonight that share their own opinion. Some of the draft picks as well. We had a busy night on the radio station as well. But let's just jump into it. And as we start, we all knew the Sacramento Kings were picking at number 5.
The Kings about to make their pick. The reason they're picking 5th, the result, the 76ers Kings deal. Sixers exercised their right to swap pick. Sixers went 3rd. Now the Kings going 5th. Here's Adam Silver.
With the 5th pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Sacramento Kings select De'Aaron Fox from the University of Kentucky.
There's old John Calipari, who's now produced a top 10 NBA pick in each of his last 10 seasons. And De'Aaron Fox, after a single season at Kentucky in which he was terrific, goes 5th overall to Sacramento, led the SEC in assists. He is a speed demon, and he has a magnetic personality. During recruiting with Kentucky, players were drawn to wanting to play with De'Aaron Fox. So he is the type of leader, type of personality that you would like to do something for the Kings, who haven't been in the playoffs since 2006.
Can I differ with you on one thing?
What's that?
He didn't produce them. He recruited him. He helped him and recruited him, but he didn't produce him.
Point taken, Mr. Semantics. Now please continue, if you will.
Well, De'Aaron Fox is the fastest player in the draft. If this were a race, he would have won this thing. Yeah, he's John Wall fast. He just doesn't have a John Wall body. An excellent defender. He gets steals and deflections. He's very good on the ball and excellent in transition. He's the number 2 transition scorer in this draft. Number 1 was Malik Monk. 6 points a game scoring in transition. Malik Monk, 6 points a game. Just elite speed in the open floor and excellent quickness, and also a very good finisher. Led the Southeastern Conference in both assists and assists per game, even had a triple-double against Arizona State in the Bahamas. He's a very good passer. You know, he's right-handed naturally, but he plays and shoots as a lefty. But an excellent passer, finds people in transition, and he's unafraid. The one thing he's got to improve upon, he's got not only defensive potential, he's an excellent defender right now. He doesn't have that freak length that a lot of players have in this draft, and he's not exceptionally tall. but he can really play. But he needs to improve his shooting. Only shot 24% from three-point range, although he shot it better toward the end of the year.
I agree with you, Jay. Us lefties, we can be unorthodox. I'm pretty sure you like your fellow Shot-towner right there, Michael Wilbon.
I do.
The most famous lefty I know, the former commander-in-chief. Had to give a shout to the lefties. Again, he has John Wall speed, as you mentioned, but you said he's right naturally and shoots lefty like Michael Conley with the Memphis Grizzlies, who had a big-time season this year. I anticipate he's going to continue to get better. I love De'Aaron Fox as a basketball player.
And we've never seen this before. Five freshmen selected to start an NBA draft.
That was courtesy of ESPN names like Rhys Davis, Jay Billis, Jalen Rose, Michael Wilbon, sharing their thoughts on what the Kings did with De'Aaron Fox. How about the Vertical? They do an amazing job, and we've had some of their guests on our podcast here on Locked On Kings. Here's Chris Mannix, Mike Schmitz, Bobby Marks, Coach Tom Crean talking about De'Aaron Fox.
All right, Woj reporting now that the Sacramento Kings, they have selected De'Aaron Fox, as you mentioned. And, Mike, this is where you and I are going to have a little bit of an argument here.
Yeah.
Because I am not a huge De'Aaron Fox guy. I'm not. I mean, look, he's explosive. He's fast in the open floor. He plays well in big games. I get that. But when I look at him, I see a guy that's on the slender side. And I see a guy that shot 25% from three-point range in college. Tell me why. Clearly, I'm wrong.
I don't think he's a 25% shooter at all. I think he showed in high school he's much more than that. I don't think he's Elfrid Payton. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you can go way under every single screen, maybe 2-3 years down the road. And I bet on the kid as well. He's an unbelievable kid, big personality, basketball junkie. I think that he's going to be in the lab getting better. I look at kind of like a Mike Conley type progression as a shooter. Was not a great shooter at Ohio State. And then now has turned into, you know, at least a 35% three-point shooter, a guy who's going to keep defenses honest. So with that explosiveness and his ability to get in the lane, playing out of ball screens, the fact that he'll pick you up 94 feet, I think that's great for their culture, what they're trying to build, and some of the pieces they have with a Buddy Hield, with a Scal. You know, that's a fun young team developing, I think.
Tom, you have to be a quality shooter at the point guard position in today's NBA. The non-shooters are just few and far between. Rajon Rondo made a living without being a great shooter, but Mike mentioned Elfrid Payton, who has really struggled because he hasn't developed a consistent jump shot. When you watch De'Aaron Fox, do you see a guy that can develop into a capable outside shooter?
It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work not only off the dribble, but off the catch and shoot. And in defense of him, he's been able to get to the rim as well as anybody at the age of 19 in the United States. I mean, he's been able to do it for so long. He can get to the teeth of the defense like nobody else. Not a tremendous finisher, but an explosive athlete, somebody that can rise up over top of people. So he hasn't always had to rely on the jump shot. He's going to need it a lot more. I think he's got to get way better at making ball screen reads because people are going to go under it if they don't trap him. He's got to get better at stepping into a shot, his release. And I think that's going to be key. Is the player development program at Sacramento going to have the patience, the perseverance, and is he going to have the open-mindedness to really get better at that? Because if he adds that, he's going to be fine.
Bobby, you mentioned at the top of the show that Sacramento, more pressure on it than any team in the NBA right now. They had two picks inside the first round. They get their point guard at five. What do you think of this pick?
I love it. You get your point guard of the future here. Now you're going to have to go out and get a veteran point guard to tutor him. If you bring back Darren Collison, you've got bird rights on him. And now I think it was the best of both worlds, where you have the best available and you also have a position of need.
You guys are all wrong.
I'm with you. If you shoot under 33%, 30% point guard position starting the NBA, find how many of those guys played in playoff
games.
They don't.
You can't.
And that's going to take a while.
Look, the big reason that Rondo worked his way back into the rotation last year. And look, he survived in Boston because he was surrounded by great players and great shooters. He was a big part of their success in Boston. But when you're, look, if he does, I think he's got to get what to Bobby? Like 35% from three, in the low 30s? I mean, what does he have to get to be a significant NBA player worthy of the fifth pick in the draft?
Well, I think he's got to be in the 30s. I think you've got to, you know, we had Jason Kidd who developed that, and we had him when we got him as a veteran from Phoenix, and that became a lethal weapon for Kidd. I mean, at the end, he, you know, finished as one of the top three-pointer, you know, shooters in the league here. So I think to honor him from a three-point level, that's going to be something that he's going to have to work on this summer.
Guys like Reggie Jackson, Isaiah Thomas, Kemba Walker, Jeremy Lin, people like that. There are other guys. Even John Wall shot over 30%. Those guys all shot under 30% from three. They're freshman year in college. okay, some have made some rises, some haven't. You know, you've got to hope that he's going to be in that guy, that he's going to be one of those people that we're looking at this a couple years down the road, and that shot got significantly better. Because if he does, I think he's an all-star, personally, because he's so quick, he's so fast, he's so explosive. Now, he's got to get better defensively. Again, we could say that about every pick in this draft. But if he improves the shot, you're looking at a long-term great player.
Next, it's Fox himself, as he was on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHDK. So De'Aaron was asked why he was so excited to come to Sacramento.
I don't really like the city, you know, when I visited. I know a lot of guys on the team, and I just added another one that I know, played with, played against. And, you know, everyone, you know, wants to talk about the organization. I feel like, you know, every franchise has their bumps in the road. And I just want to be a franchise savior, you know, steer the franchise in the right direction.
Follow-up for De'Aaron Fox. And basically, how fired up is he to really get started with his NBA career?
I'm definitely ready. You know, I just hear my name call, it kind of, you know, lift the world off my shoulders. And I'm just ready to get to work. You know, you ask anybody, I'm always in the gym, I'm always working. And that's just one thing I'm ready to get ready. I'm ready for it.
Next, the guys ask him about being that offensive player, that defensive player, what he thinks about being considered, really, a two-way player.
Actually, offense came second. So, like, when I was younger, so actually my swipe of the Fox was actually given to me when I was in, like, fourth or fifth grade because I would get a lot of on-ball steals as a kid. And then my offense started coming along really in, like, sixth or seventh or eighth grade is when I really became good offensively. And then high school really just took off. But I actually started on the defensive side of the ball and then worked my way to offense.
And then we close things out with a question towards De'Aaron Fox about the criticisms that are out there. Some people wondering about the effectiveness of his jump shot.
I don't feel the problem's going to be, the shot's going to be a problem at all. You know, I really shot it well in high school. And then towards the end of the year, I really shot it well at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone goes off, you know, the overall. But, you know, I let them worry about that. I let my game speak for itself. And when I start shooting well, all I'm going to say is I told you so.
All right, so that's what we knew. De'Aaron Fox, the fifth pick. We knew that was coming at five, or at least hoped that was coming for the Sacramento Kings at five. What would they do at 10? What would they do at 10? Well, we've got a trade.
And as I mentioned, with Sacramento about to make a pick officially, Jeff Goodman has news on that pick coming up. Jeff?
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings have traded this pick to Portland. The Trailblazers have three picks in the first round, 15 and 20. They're swapping with Sacramento here to move up.
So we now fast forward to 15 then, now that the Kings are picking at 15, and here's how it sounded.
Portland making this pick, but it will be on its way to Sacramento. Here's Adam Silver.
With the 15th pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Portland Trailblazers select Justin Jackson from the University of North Carolina.
Justin Jackson of the national champion Tar Heels, a first-team All-American last year, averaged a little better than 18 points, 5 rebounds. He was the ACC Player of the Year for Roy Williams and the national champions. Wore number 44 at Carolina in honor of George Gervin. Body type very similar to the Iceman as well. He's got some crafty moves around the basket. You look at Justin Jackson, once the Kings get him, what kind of NBA player will he be?
Well, they're getting a long-arm shooter that has the best floater in this draft. His floater's really an amazing shot that he goes to quite a bit, and he can shoot it over length, and he makes it at a really high rate. You know, Justin Jackson is from Tomball, Texas, where Jimmy Butler happens to be from. He's homeschooled growing up. He came into college with the reputation as an outstanding shooter, but his first couple of years, he just wasn't making shots and really worked on his shooting, got into the gym, and then last year shot a much better percentage, up in the high 30s. Moves really well without the ball. Comes off screens. He can catch and shoot, but that floater is outstanding. Still a little bit streaky, but when he goes straight up and down, as Fran Fraschilla pointed out, the combine shoots a much better percentage. Good in transition, a solid defender with his length. He's a good, solid basketball player.
So Justin Jackson becomes the newest king. Well, how about the Vertical's view on this pick.
Moving along, Sacramento, which moved that 10th pick to get to 15 and 20, they have selected Justin Jackson with the 15 overall pick, that according to both Shams and Woj. They get a shooter, Mike, somebody that can play alongside some of the guys that they're putting in that place.
I think it's perfect. I think it's exactly what they need in terms of a wing who can shoot the ball, a guy who can play next to De'Aaron Fox, play next to Buddy Hield. He's ready to contribute immediately. He's an awesome guy who really knows the game, mature mentality. He's who you want in your locker room. I think, you know, they've done a really nice job moving back and knowing that they can still get Justin Jackson there. I think they nailed it.
Bobby, you look at this Kings roster. Now you have De'Aaron Fox and Justin Jackson, and you have another pick coming up at the 20 spot. Look, I've been harsh on the Kings in the past, but I like what they've done so far.
I do. Look at, you have Rudy Gay and Tyreke Evans, who are going to be two free agents. Justin Jackson in there fills that's a need, and I think that's probably one of the better players that are left on the board. What they do with that later pick will be interesting. Remember, this is the eighth player that is going to be potentially on a rookie contract here. So I think we're going to maybe look at a European when we get to that 23rd slot.
They at least have some direction, Bobby. And for the last couple of years, it just seems like they've been like, okay, we're going into a new building next year. We've got to make the playoffs. We've got to add veterans to the roster. Now you have two quality young players. We'll see how they develop. I'm not as high on De'Aaron Fox as you guys are, but they have some two quality young pieces there. I think, I don't know if this is the Scott Perry influence or something changed within the organization, but it does look like for the first time, they having some structure.
Well, no, you're right, and it's I don't want to say the Golden State model because that's not fair to the Warriors as far as what Bob Myers was able to do there with draft-wise. But going back, when I said why this draft was so important was that you can get two or three players, develop them with your other players, and then when you become a player in free agency that Golden State was this past year, and I'm not saying Sacramento is NBA Finals worthy or probably not even a playoff team right now, but you certainly have to get a baseline with that group.
Woj reporting just now, the Boston-Indiana talks for now have stalled, so no deal at this point for Paul George going to Indiana. Justin Jackson now with De'Aaron Fox, a quality backcourt there in that mix. Who are you looking for now, Tom, as we head towards the second half of the draft?
Well, getting back to Justin Jackson, there's the guy that some of the deep playoff teams, I think, had a real interest in either hoping he would drop or the potential of moving up to get him. So let's see if that pick stands as we go through that, because that's a really good pick, and that's a guy that could add to teams that are maybe a little deeper along inside of their run.
Justin Jackson also joined us on Sports 1140 KHDK, and he was asked about that waiting game on just waiting to get picked in the NBA.
For me, I wasn't nervous. For me, I knew it was in God's hands. So wherever he wanted to place me, that's where he wanted to place me. And I knew, there were some teams that liked me. I knew Sacramento liked me. And then whenever I saw the trade and then I started talking to my agent and things like that, I'm extremely happy that they picked me. So I can't express how happy I am and how ready I am to kind of get to work.
Coming in as a three, likely a small forward, he shot threes in college. How about shooting the pro three? That was asked of Justin Jackson.
I'm extremely confident. Thankfully now looking back on it, I didn't shoot many college threes this past year because of how the defenses were playing. And so I was forced to shoot from deep route. And now, it wasn't too hard of a transition as far as going to that distance. So I'm looking forward to trying to come in there and provide some shooting from the outside and, whatever else I need to do.
And lastly, by the time this interview happened, the Kings had already selected at 20. And before we totally unveil that, you of course know that by now, but he was asked if he could play with a player from Duke.
I think that kind of goes out the window once you get to this point. I think once you get to a point where it's a job and they're starting to write paychecks, I think you can throw the whole rivalry out the window.
So the Duke player obviously we're talking about is Harry Giles. The Sacramento Kings picking 20 via Portland ended up with Harry Giles.
With Portland on the clock, time to remind you of a trade that went down earlier tonight, still officially a proposed trade. Kings getting the rights to Justin Jackson and the pick that's about to be made by Portland. Blazers getting Zach Collins. Let's see who the Blazers select for the Kings.
With the 20th pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Portland Trail Blazers select Harry Giles from Duke University.
And with that pick, Harry Giles is not here, but with that pick, 14 freshmen have been selected in the first round. That is a new first round record. And for Harry Giles, who's had all of the knee problems,
This is a big thing for him going in the first round, Jake.
It's a huge thing. And Harry Giles is a great kid, but averaged 4 points a game, 4 rebounds. We did not see the real Harry Giles this season because of all the injuries he had. He missed a year and a half with 2 different ACL injuries. He got injured before the start of the season and missed the first half of it. But he showed some flashes. But when he was in high school, when he played USA basketball, he was essentially Chris Webber. I mean, he would have been a top 5 pick if he were healthy, maybe even the top pick. His lateral quickness was really an issue with the injuries that he had. And when he was isolated in screen and roll situations as a defender, he was just picked apart on ball screens. He was giving up 75% field goal shooting to his responsibility in those pick and rolls. The question is, can he be what he was? And it's a risk, but at this point in the draft, it's a good risk because of the amount of potential that Giles has if he can get his explosiveness back.
So Harry Giles, selected by the Trailblazers, that will be part of a trade to go to the Kings. Kings, of course, trading DeMarcus Cousins during last season, and maybe if Harry Giles can regain his health and his form, maybe he takes care of some of that interior presence that Boogie had given them at one point, at least in terms of production. Still a ways away from that. Jeff Goodman's with us now. Jeff, you and I were talking before the broadcast. You were getting some conflicting reports about the medical reports on Harry Giles, but some of it factoring in his favor. What have you got on that?
Yeah, I just talked to his agent, Jeff Schwartz, who said that he went to 8 places to work out for 8 different teams, and they put him through the gamut medically. And like you said, Reese, there were some conflicting reports. Some teams telling me that it was much better, the medical information that was given, than they thought it would be. Schwartz gave the medical info to about half of the NBA teams, Sacramento being one of them, and he was absolutely ecstatic because, as Jay Billis said, Harry Giles, one of the best kids you will ever meet doing this, and certainly with what he went through with the knee injuries, most people were rooting for him, Reese.
That's more of the guys from ESPN talking about Harry Giles. How about the Vertical's view on Harry Giles?
I have a pick coming in right now. Sacramento, they surprise everybody. Now, Mike, we have our first board shaker. We have our big surprise. Woj reporting that Harry Giles out of Duke is going to go number 20. Now, we know that coming out of high school, Harry Giles, an incredibly talented player, didn't work out all that well at Duke because of injuries and consistency. What do you make of the Kings going Giles at 20?
I'm a little surprised with some of the guys on the board. You know, I think with Jared Allen there, you know, I think even a guy like OG Anunoby could be a fit if you want to have him play some 3, some 4. But they must be really confident in their medical staff, and they must believe that Giles, you know, will return to form, to what he was. And if he does, we could be looking back in a few years and say it was a great pick at 20.
Tom, I'm usually in favor of these kind of value picks when you get into the 20s, guys that didn't live up to their potential for various reasons. This seems pretty high, though, to grab a guy that some people had projected even into the second round, who's not even in New York for this draft.
Well, in a perfect world, he would have fit, you know, with where he's got to go confidence-wise, with what he's got to continue to do to build up from the injuries, go to a team that could have some patience with him and continue to develop him. You hope that's going to happen in Sacramento. You know, is he going to get a chance to go in there and grow back into his confidence? You're drafting the body of work. You're drafting a guy that is going to have a serious chip on his shoulder, I would imagine. He's the forgotten man. You know, from the 9th, 10th, 11th grade on, he was considered one of the top players in the country constantly. But I do still think there's enough there athletically. There's enough there with quickness. And there's enough room for upside. There really is in the sense of potential. He puts the ball on his back foot in the post. He rushes his shot. There was a point in time where he was really, really good in the physical game. He's got to get that back. It's very easy for us to sit there. I watched James Blackman go through this, you know, and with the injuries that he had with us at Indiana. You've got to allow their mentality to come back. I give Duke all the credit in the world for not rushing him, for helping him through that. But it's going to take some time for him to get that level of, I can do this at the level I can do this at.
And we close things out with the second round, the 34th pick. Here it is.
With the 34th pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Sacramento Kings select Frank Mason from the University of Kansas.
So all I can say is, wow, what a night. Sacramento Kings, in my early opinion on this, did well. There'll be some question marks, of course. We got to wait. I always say, even if you hate the draft, if you love the draft, you have to wait. We don't know. We don't know what any of these guys will be. But by all accounts, I do like what the Sacramento Kings did. One thing I'm going to keep my eye on and watch for a while is 10. I wanted the Kings to move away from 10. I did not anticipate Malik Monk being there. I can see a scenario where Malik Monk at 11 becomes a stud, and people later in years down the line, how did the Kings pass up on Malik Monk? Well, that's something they were comfortable doing. They have a strong set of two guards. So that's one thing to keep your eye on. And, you know, Zach Collins, who goes in that 10 spot, what does he become? And those guys at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. But I like what they did. Added players, two point guards in the mix, fill the need maybe at 3, and then the offseason is going to be with free agency. Spend some money. Get some more veterans. Get some grown-ups on this team with all these kids. But I like the plan. I like where they're going. And I think all in all, Thursday night was a good night for the Sacramento Kings. Thank you so much for listening this week to all of our podcasts. We obviously didn't give you our Friday mailbag, but we'll push that one to next week. We'll have more post-draft reaction next week and much more. But thank you so much for listening to all the shows all week. And thank you for listening to another episode of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.